Afternoon. It's good to see everyone here with us. If you're visiting, we're glad that you're here and hope that you'll enjoy the time you have with us this afternoon. Be turning in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll begin there in just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. When you fill in for a preacher because he's sick, you don't always have a whole lot of time to prepare. So hopefully for your, in your case or for your sake, that means it'll be a little shorter than normal, and it probably will be. My wife is out of town, yesterday I decided to get my car worked on out in North Raleigh, and so I took it up there, made the appointment, I said, I'll just wait on it. And once I got up there, the guy said it would take 2.5 hours, and the place was very small, and there was no place to sit. So I said, okay, well, I'm not going to wait here 2.5 hours. I'll just take a walk. My idea was that I would take a walk, and I try to walk a couple miles a day. Anyway, I figured I would just walk a couple miles, come back, relax, and it'll be done. So I went to, left the place, went to the gas station next door, and when I was there, this young woman, child, maybe she's 20, came up to me and asked if she could use my phone. And it was clear to me that she was a junkie. I mean, it was clear, maybe homeless, but in a very bad way. So I let her use my phone, and she called a couple of people trying to get a ride. I had no car at the time. Not sure I would have been able to do that anyway. But she finally did get through to somebody who was going to come get her, and then this other person called. She made one call, didn't get through, made the second call, got through to somebody, and then the first person she called me back a few minutes later. So as I had left, I was thinking to myself how sorry I felt for this girl, because I mean, she was clearly in a desperate time of her life. And clearly not well healthy, not well physically, not well mentally, and has a lot of problems. And I had seen her before hanging around a bunch of people, and none of them looked like they were in a good way. So I was feeling really bad. I was feeling like I didn't know what to do, didn't know if there's something I could do. You know, I could go give her money, but what is that going to do? You know. So when that person called back, it was her mother. So I went back into the gas station, and she was still there, and I said, your mom just called. I said, do you need a ride? She says, no. She said, no, I got one. I said, okay. So I left, and I was thinking about her for the next 10 or 15 minutes, and I was in a bad part of town. This whole story, by the way, has a point. So I was in a bad part of town anyway, and so I was feeling like I'd made a mistake. First of all, I didn't know if my car was going to be well taken care of. Second of all, I did not feel safe. There was traffic. There was just a lot of shenanigans going on. People, this crowd, this girl, this crowd she was with. I just didn't feel safe. So being the carry snob that I am, got up my phone, got an Uber, come get me out of here. So the Uber guy comes, picks me up, and takes me to the Triangle Mall, which is not a great mall anyway, but at least out of the neighborhood I was in. So I got out of the neighborhood where I was, and like a rich carry snob, you know, and I was feeling guilty about it. I honestly was sitting there feeling, this would never happen in carry. And I started feeling bad about it. Then my phone rings, and it's Robert Collins wanting me to preach. So I had something to talk about. You know, I had something to think about, and I didn't mind. So I said yes, mainly because I wanted to spend some time thinking about this, because I was really kind of examining myself as I was thinking about this girl and how I could have helped her, but I really didn't help her other than let her use her phone, and I just kind of hoped that she got picked up and taken to someplace better than where she was. But I really didn't help her. So I was feeling bad about that, and I was feeling bad about being too good for that neighborhood. I was feeling bad about wanting to escape that neighborhood. Not that I could have done any good in that neighborhood, But I just didn't, you know, I just felt out of my element. And I thought about this verse actually before Robert called. So let's read verses 1 through 11 of 1 Corinthians 10. And I think you'll see where I'm going once we read this verse. So we'll start in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Verse 11, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. The verse that I thought of when I was thinking about this was verse 12. Therefore, let not anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. Hebrews verse chapter 3, let's turn to that and read a passage there, and we'll cover a few points. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, as is the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The passage that I really think is the point of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians is verse 12. That's where he's coming to. And he's using, Paul uses in 1 Corinthians, and then the writer of Hebrews, who may have been Paul, uses in Hebrews, the example of the Israelites in the wilderness. Now, we won't read that whole passage in Exodus, but if you remember the story, these people were slaves in Egypt for decades. Decades and decades and decades. Finally, through the power and miracles of God, Pharaoh was convinced to let them go. So millions of people, don't know if we know the exact number, but a whole nation of people were released from bondage through miracles. And then they went into the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea. If you remember how they crossed it, remember how? It opened, and they walked right down the middle of it, and it closed behind them and killed Pharaoh and his army who was chasing them. Another miracle. So these people saw all this power. They were granted this freedom that they had always wanted, that their ancestors had wanted. They were granted this freedom. They were given this freedom, and they go out into the wilderness, and they squandered it. They forgot somehow where they had come from. And they started worshiping idols. They sinned in other ways. And God said, okay, then none of you will get to see the promised land. And only a handful of them ever did. Even Moses himself did not get to step foot in the land of Canaan because of the sins he committed. It's amazing that you can be in such a good place in your life, you can be so high and in such a good place, doing so well, and just fall flat on your face, and nobody's immune to it. These people, I mean, we have, our issues are, we don't have miracles that we see, but we certainly have blessings of God that in many of our cases are miraculous, that we're able to live the lives that we live. I mean, some of us in this room have come from bad places. We've come from broken families. We've come out of poverty. We've come out of bad situations and have overcome that. Some of us have, through our own tenacity, have done well in their lives. So we live a life of blessing. We are sitting here in a nice, warm, or cool, I guess it's warm today, warm building. We have a roof over our head. We have these screens, we have these lights, we have this microphone that works, and we have all these blessings. And then we still have the ability to walk out of here and fall flat on our face. The Israelites had seen the power of God in person, and they still walked away from it, and they paid the price. They fell flat on their face in the wilderness. God did not allow them to see the promised land. That's horrible. Can you imagine how they must have felt? You imagine how they felt? They wandered around. It took 40 years for them to die off. And by the time they had all died off, then their ancestors got to go see the promised land. Can you imagine what the people who'd been around for 38 years were thinking? They have to have been walking around the desert for 38 years. I can only imagine how defeated they must have felt. The real reasons that we get this way, and as we apply this to ourselves, and the application for us, as I was thinking about this girl yesterday, and I was thinking about this neighborhood I was in, how I didn't want to, and how, you know, just didn't feel safe in Raleigh, North Carolina, that you can't feel safe, but I didn't. And you think about, you know, you think about people and what trouble they've gotten themselves into. You know, there are things that I can do, that I could do in my life that could get me in that kind of trouble. I know people of my generation who have been steady family people who have lost it all to drugs and alcohol and have turned into 50-year-old junkies. I've seen it firsthand. These are people you would think never, this is, you know, people you would think this would never happen to, but I've seen it happen. There's nothing to say that any one of us is immune to this. All of us can fall to sin. Any of us can. So what is it truly that causes us to think that we can't? What were the Israelites? Were they arrogant? Were they naive? Were they dumb? You know, what was their problem? I believe it's arrogance, and I believe it's immaturity. It's immaturity. It's immaturity to not have the ability to look at the world around us and see what's going on. This is something we try to teach our kids. Learn from the mistakes of others so you don't make the same mistakes yourselves. And kids are immature. We are all immature at some level. Some of us never gain that maturity that we need. Some of us gain that maturity a lot sooner than others. Some of us are born with it. But for the most part, we're all immature, and this is what they were. They were immature to think that they, you know, to just ignore the world around them, to ignore what God had done in Egypt. It's a sign of immaturity to ignore that. So what is a sign of maturity? What is a sign of it? What are some signs of maturity? Let's look at these real quick, and then we'll be done. First of all, a sign of maturity is to understand that temptation is real, and that not only is temptation real, but what you're being tempted to do is real. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm tempted to do something, but it's not really something I would do. You know, it actually is. Did you know when Jesus was tempted on at the beginning of his ministry, he could have given up? Do you know Jesus could have climbed off of that cross? There are things that Jesus could have done. We can take these steps. Temptation is real, and we need to know that the ramifications of those sins that we're being tempted by are real. The ramifications are real. But no temptation is so bad that we can't overcome it. There is not a single one of us who cannot overcome a temptation. We know that from chapter 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians. God is there with us. And it is amazing how, if you say a little prayer to yourself when you're being tempted, it's amazing what power it can give you. It's also amazing how, when you don't think about God, how much easier that temptation is. It's a sign of maturity to understand that God is there. And it's a sign of your maturity when you understand that. To understand that God will not forsake you. It's a sign of maturity to understand that there are escapes, that there are ways to escape temptations. And God will provide that escape. Sometimes that escape is your own will, your own ability to say no, your own ability to walk away, your own ability to not put yourself in a situation where you're going to be tempted in the first place. God doesn't give us a promise of no temptation, by the way. Matter of fact, we pretty much have a guarantee that we're going to be tempted. He doesn't give us a promise of no temptation. He gives us a promise that we can stand up to it. It's a sign of maturity to know to flee evil or to stay away from evil. James 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. What this is talking about when it's saying be wretched, mourn, and weep, it's not saying literally walk around mournful and sorrowful as Christians. I mean, we have other verses that tell us what a life of joy we have. What we're being taught is to take life seriously. Is to take life seriously. Don't just laugh at sin and don't just laugh at the devil. He is real. And the results of what he's tempting you to do are real. And be humble about it. Don't be arrogant. So we have a desire to not fall down like this young woman I saw yesterday has fallen. That can happen to any of us. How many of us have, just don't raise your hand, but how many of you have family members who have fallen away? How many of you have loved ones or close friends who have fallen away? How many of you know someone in your life who you never thought would fall away, who is a strong Christian, and you're just stunned, or you have been stunned by the fact that they fell away? It can happen to any of us. We all know people who have fallen into this. We all know people who have shown this type of immaturity. This young woman is immature. This young woman that I met yesterday is immature. All I can do at this point, I think, is probably pray for her, which I will do. You know, that she finds God and finds peace in her life. We all deserve it. We all deserve peace in our life. No, we don't deserve the salvation we're given. That's given by grace. But God created people perfectly. That's one of the things that we try to teach our young people. We try to teach our young people when they think about their self-esteem, that when they look in the mirror, they're actually looking at a creation of God. And each one of us is a creation of God. And we are created perfect. Young children, babies, infants, perfect. And it's we're the ones who mess it up. We're the ones who put chinks in our own armor. But we are created perfectly. And we all deserve to live perfectly. God wants us to be perfect. We deserve punishment, yes. But we also have been granted the ability to live a better life. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to live that happy life. As you think about things in your life, as you think about temptations that come about, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Don't let your guard down. Keep your guard up. It was, remember the Israelites who fell, and remember those in your life who have fallen. You now have a chance, we now have a chance to make a decision. If you have not made the decision to be a Christian, this is your chance. You have the chance, you have the ability and the opportunity to become a Christian tonight. If you've been studying and you know what you need to do and you know that you need to repent and you know that you need to confess Jesus and you know that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can do that tonight. We also have an opportunity here to confess our sins to one another, which is something we're commanded to do in the Bible. We have the opportunity to ask for prayers. This is something you can do anytime, but we're going to give you that opportunity tonight. So if you need to, won't you come while we stand and sing?